Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're trying to end profuse sweating in our lifetime. Forget IRS, he needs our help.
Right on my Hoover, that one!
Yuckity-yuck, McMannequin! The British Bulldog is part of the new generation!
You may all bow before D-Mabel!
And the World Wrestling Federation.
Welcome, everyone, to the Cultaholic Classic Raw review. As the other Cultaholic lads reel from Money in the Bank, we are here checking we've got money in the bank because it's the darkest era of the WWF. We are trudging through it. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, former Cultaholic heavyweight champion Tom Campbell, and I'm with the bear in the big blue bar cage, the head pen of Cultaholic. Doesn't need a pencil. He gets it right every time. He is Justin Henry, and he is off of America.
Hey, Tommy, what's up?
I'm good, buddy. How the devil are you, more importantly?
I'm doing just fine, and in spite of this show that we had to watch.
It wasn't the finest hour for WWF, this particular one. Did you enjoy the fans' return for Money in the Bank last night before we go any further? Let's just a little touch on some modern stuff.
Oh, it was it's just good to see fans back all around, and hopefully it stays that way, not with all these variants flying around that we don't have to, although maybe it'll encourage a few more people to get vaccinated instead of just trying to fly by the seat of their pants.
It would. You'd hope so. You hope this is a polite way where we go forward. I tell you what's the most exciting part about this is, you might not appreciate to hear where to because this is audio. You may not know. You may not be able to tell. But I am talking to you from in the offices of Cultaholic. We are back. We are beginning the journey back to normal life. The isolation station is closed and. It's obviously COVID rates are going up in the United Kingdom, but it's Freedom Day. We are recording this on COVID rates going up. Well, hopefully the vaccine will be all right. It's Freedom Day. And there is a despite that small matter of COVID rates going up, there is a sense of hope in the air. And it's just nice to be back in the office. I've seen people in the office that I haven't seen in probably about 18 months. Today, Justin.
How tall is Andrew now?
Oh, bless him. He's had a growth spurt while we've been away. He's now 5'10".
That's excellent.
He's shooting up that boy. It's brought a tear to my eye. He'll
grow into that sweater I got him for Christmas.
He'll grow into it one day. I said he would. But anyway, we can't revel in that. We are here to go back in time to 1995. It is a show best left forgotten, apparently, for Monday Night Raw. But we're going to go through it. So this is your first time here. Welcome in. Justin Henry and I, it is our job to critique every single episode of Monday Night Raw from the very beginning to the bitter end, either Justin's, mine, or the show's. And it could go on for quite some time. What we do before we hand over to Justin Henry to guide us through this week's episode of Monday Night Raw, I'm going to turn my volume up because I'm apparently very quiet. There we go. Is that better?
Much better.
There we go. Apologies if you had very low sound at the start of this. You'll just have to deal with it because it's teething problems, isn't it? So what we do before we go into this week's episode of Monday Night Raw, and Justin Henry will guide us through that, I'm going to talk us through what's been happening in the wrestling news in this week in 1995. Where and when are we this week, Justin, by the way?
That is part three of the TV tapings from 2 weeks earlier. This aired Monday, August 7th, 1995. This was taped in anti-famed Louisville Gardens in Louisville, Kentucky.
So this is the third set of tapings, did you say now?
Yes.
So we're getting to that beautiful part that we call the warmed-up cold cuts of a Raw taping, where we're just getting like the dregs of what is left and a tired crowd and even more tired wrestlers.
It's three left-behind candy DMs at the end of the steam tray.
It's a good time. These are the best ones. This thin roster that we're dealing with, Justin, is only getting thinner. This week, Bam Bam Bigelow, who has been headlining some of the tours against Mabel on the house show run, suffered a hyperextended knee. He's been missing TV shows. So therefore, we've had some WWF house shows headlined by either Mabel versus Razor Ramon or Mabel versus Savio Vega. That's where we're at today.
Hopefully they're offering refunds.
I believe that is the alternative to the main event. But here's the thing. In the event that what WWF tends to do is, in the event that they have to replace somebody at the top of the card, they'll always have the babyface go over to send the fans home happy. But they're really pushing Mabel at the moment. So therefore, you're not getting that. You're not getting that. Instead, you're getting disqualification or count-out wins. Just to hopefully send the fans home happy, because you've got to keep Mabel strong for SummerSlam, brother. Jeez, some dodgy shows at this time.
The only way the fans go home happy is if they stayed home in the first place.
That's the only way you go happy. just keeping the money and maybe, I don't know, having a pizza instead.
It was on Cartoon Network.
Oh, there you go. What would have been on Cartoon Network in 95?
I think this is pre-Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah, this is before the golden era. Let us know.
Ed, and Eddie.
Let us know by tweeting at JRH writing what was on. And we will remember this conversation, I'm sure. ECW is tantalizingly close to being shut down, apparently. So at press time, the future of ECW on the Sunshine Network and affiliate Liberty Cable was in question after the network decided to pull this past week's airings of the show due to an angle involving the Sandman, Mikey Whipwreck, and Woman. Justin, tell us about this angle. I knew you'd know.
I would. Okay, so it was Sandman versus Mikey. Sandman at his points the champion. Mikey was the, rising plucky underdog challenger. They had a Singapore caning match where the loser had to withstand 10 whacks of the Singapore cane. Sandman won, so Mikey had to submit himself to this. Sandman kept beating Mikey brutally, and Woman, Nancy Sullivan, aka Nancy Benoit, was acting quite aroused after each strike, like she was taking sadistic sexual pleasure from watching Mikey get beaten. And she kept giving Mikey outs as if he would, if he would just kiss her feet, she would let him, she would cease the beating then and there, like after the fourth one, after the fifth one, so to speak. And with each and seven strikes, she was more and more into it. And Mikey had to endure all 10 because Mikey refused to back down to show how tough he was. But it kept, it was a thing.
I'm really surprised that the Sunshine Network was upset with a woman getting her rocks off to a man getting beaten and offering to get her foot kissed to stop the pain. That doesn't sound very Sunshine Network, does it?
Well, at least somebody was happy.
Yeah, you know what? There is a special sect of the audience, and I ain't judging. You do what you need to do. Love conquers all. A special sect of the audience that would have had a great appreciation for that. Apparently taken from a scene from Natural Born Killers. There's some inspiration from this.
And you remember that all of ECW at this point was either Natural Born Killers or Pulp Fiction.
It was basically like Paul Heyman really into that kind of film, wasn't it?
I think Paul was just into that kind of enjoyment.
Dirty boy. He was a dirty boy, as my dad would call him. He's a dirty boy. Some dubsy dub stuff, right? You know how we talked last week about IRS, aka Mike Rotunda, potentially taking a road agent's role, and he is there to be the sweaty substitute on the house show should anybody not make it. Oh my God, we need got Mabel versus IRS.
I know the story. Okay, so what happens is they almost threw Worldwide off the air because IRS kept moaning with pleasure every time Big Bubba hit Hacksaw Jim Duggan with a steel chair. And he got so sweaty they interpreted it as something else. It's like, no, that's too much. We can't have that.
John! Don't, John. That is, I mean, that would have been funnier. That would have been funnier than what actually happened with Rotunda this week. Apparently, Rotunda is potentially taking a job at WCW. Dave Meltzer says, don't ask me why. The original idea was to hold a press conference to announce the new Monday Nitro show. They've dropped Wrestling Nitro. It's now Monday Nitro. And he says, to bring in Mike Rotunda at the press conference and without saying so, pretend they're having an interpromotional match on the first night. Fuck.
With IRS.
Money, 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 money. Taxing all your money. I don't know. What was... Okay, so this was apparently an idea that somebody had, was to bring in Mike Rotunda, pretend he was over there. He was joining as Mike Rotunda. That's what they were saying. That's what they wanted to do. And then have him do, like, an interpromotional match. Like, the concept of invaders to the WCW is something that they will lean very heavily on next year. But this is...
I'm glad they waited.
IRS as the NWO. Potentially what we got.
You people, you know who I am, but you don't... As he wipes his brow. No, why? Wipes his brow. I'm here.
Nor do I.
So, would he be the new world body odor?
the new world odor. Oh, bless
IRS
him.
IRS is the third man.
Could you imagine? All you tax sheets are going to bow down to the new wet organization.
You fans can audit yourself, brother.
What a different timeline that is. There is a Mike Rotunda variant somewhere that became the leader of the NWO. Hi, if you've watched Loki. First main event of Nitro at this time, because this is what's been cool about doing these shows over the last few weeks, is that we're reporting, like, as WCW Monday Nitro is being put together. And some of the things we've reported aren't happening. Some of the things that we're reporting are happening in a slightly different way. But at this particular point, in this week in the year of our Lord 1995, the main event of Nitro is scheduled to be Hulk Hogan versus Paul Orndorff.
Mm.
Yeah, we nearly had like a big WWF main event from the 80s open, like, as the first main event for Monday Nitro.
Hogan does end up facing an 80s nemesis, although it's a different 80s nemesis. Oddly enough, somebody else he had a great cage match with on Saturday Night's main event.
Do you reckon they just went get the guy that Hogan had a great 80s cage match with and they just got the memos mixed up?
Well, first they called Don Morocco.
Oh! Bundy.
I don't work the States anymore.
Bundy's phone never rang, strangely. the how would you have felt about Hogan versus Orndorff on the first ever Nitro?
I mean, it was going to be a means to an end match just to have Hogan there for... I mean, Hogan's going to be there for no matter what, because A, he's the biggest star, and B, to plug Pasta Mania.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, it ended up being C to give us the big angle for the second Nitro, which we'll get there.
We'll get there. We will all get there. Announcements.
It won't be long now.
It won't be long. We'll meet again. This week, WCW aired Collision in Korea at last. This was the show they take back in April. How they make that massive venue look like a sportatorium is impressive.
That was. I agree with that.
So, God, like the biggest capacity crowd ever, and it looks like you're in an armory. Like, well, that's amazingly bad. And there was so much about the WCW's release of Collision in Korea that just left a lot to be desired. The camera work made it look like a tiny event. And you had the commentary, the English commentary, which was on the top of the Japanese audio. But then you have the Japanese commentary on the audio, and they've not mixed them down separately. So they have to really lower the volume on the comment on the audio track for Collision and Career, so the English commentary can be put over the Japanese commentary. But then you lose so much of the energy of that night, those loud noises and the bangs and all of
Well, it's the crowd wasn't really loud to begin with. But it's until Anoki came out.
But a lot of noises from like the match is lost. I feel like when you have the sound mixing so low that you can't hear like the ring, the people hitting the ring canvas and stuff, I feel like it does affect it somewhat.
The show wasn't interesting until Dark Side of the Ring came out.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll come back in 20 years and we'll talk about it then.
Let me just say about that episode, the best part was the theremin music, like it was a 50s horror movie.
Alex and I watched that, and Alex, who has no origin, no idea what the Collision and Career show was all about, so going into it very, very fresh-eyed, was just like, why are they acting like this is a horror film? It just sounds like they just had an experience in Korea.
Why don't you ask Scott Norton why it was like a horror film?
Norton, yeah. Norton very much the star of that piece. History tells this story, and I don't want to get into the discussion on Korea. That's not why we're here. We're here to laugh at jobbers and, oh, isn't Diesel a rubbish champion? But it's the whole thing. It's a very different culture, and they were in the middle of it. But it sounds like the wrestlers kind of made their own problems that week.
The Scorpio Hawk stuff is to be believed.
Yeah, if it's just like, if they're constantly fighting and trying to get, like, for God's sake, Eric Bischoff, like, for all the amazing things that Eric Bischoff has studied, the one thing he could have studied is the room during that week. If he hadn't, just going out for a jog in the middle of Korea. And again, all of these stories for Collision in Korea, you take with a pinch of salt.
I hope every future Darkseid has Scorpio on it, whether or not he has any involvement with the story.
Or he just decides he's in it.
Yes, let's just put him in like the XPW episode and like the whatever episode, and just have him just tell stories.
That'd be amazing.
Him and Kim Wood both.
If that's the whole series, beautiful. That'd be a great
podcast with those two.
That'd be amazing. WCW, as well as showing Collision in Korea this week, they aired Clash of Champions, a live special from Daytona Beach, Florida. Do you remember much about this Clash of the Champions, Justin?
Yes, I remember it was weird seeing Vader as a babyface.
I was surprised by this news. I'll just run down the card because it's combination main event and Clash of Champions on this night. So I'll run down the card dead quick. We'll do some stars. Johnny B. Badd and Big Bubba Rogers. 3:14. How many stars?
One.
One and a quarter.
Wow.
Nasty Boys beat Los Especialistas. Turned out to be the Barrio Brothers. They were fakes all along, and the Nasty Boys exposed them. How many stars did this get, Justin?
Dud.
It was a ones, though.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In what Dave Meltzer calls the best match of the main event show, Brian Pillman pinned Marcus Bagwell. How many stars?
1¾.
3.
Wow.
Spicy work from Marcus and Pillman. And in the main event, Hulk Hogan beat Kamala via disqualification after Zodiac and Shark, a.k.a. John Tenta, ran in and Sting and Randy Savage made the save. How many stars?
Well, first, I'll give an opinion. I'll give a guess, and then I'll give a new hot take.
Go on, then.
I'm gonna say this was a dud.
Okay, and what's your hot take?
Yeah. John Tenta should not have been the shark. He should have been a giant octopus called Tentacle.
It was one star, but you are right about Tentacle. What would that have looked like? If only there was someone that could show us using the power of Photoshop. I can't think of anyone. Oh, well, Clash of Champions. opening match, Sting and Hawk beat Meng and Kurosawa. Dave says, if figures they take a guy with a legit wrestling credential, such as Kurosawa, and make him into a martial arts gimmick, despite the fact he has no martial arts experience at all. He then says, I don't know what planet Hawk was on, but it was the worst I've ever seen of him. How many stars did this get?
I guess it was a -1.
Yeah, it was -2.
Oh, even worse.
Mm-hmm. It was a bad night for Hawk, particular stink. There's only so much stink can do here. Diamond Dallas Page pins Alex Wright. Apparently, like, there's been a bit of a change of the guard behind the scenes at WCW, and they're not as into Alex Wright as the previous were. And Page pretty soundly beats him, and it looks like Page is off to do other things. But how many stars did this get?
1.5.
2.75.
Okay.
Renegade beat the man who could potentially headline WCW Monday Night Show Episode 1, Paul Orndorff. What did this get?
-1.
This was a dud. Oh, for Mr. Wonderful, the late Mr. Wonderful. Harlem Heat and Sister Sherry beat Dick Slater and Bunkhouse Buck and Colonel Rob Parker in 11 minutes. Now, there's a storyline bit that goes down here, which we'll get to. Before we do, Justin, how many stars?
1.
-1.
Oh, wow. Renegade was in the match that was better than 2 matches on this show so far.
It's a pretty bad night. Do you know the story? Do you know the story here?
Yeah, it's where Sherry gets a knock on the head and she develops this sort of amnesiac crush on Colonel Parker.
That's it. So that's what happens when you get a concussion and followed by amnesia. You fall in love with Colonel Robert Parker.
You know what? I'm not even going to complain because they're both dynamic personalities. Yeah. Parker was underrated. I realize it may not be the most PC gimmick being this sharecropper from the South or plantation owner, where he's supposed to be, but he was so into it, like oh, Lordy, with all his wild primers and the. He played it to a hilt.
He was very
J.R. Ewing.
Hogan did an interview, talked about the McMahons were all shaking in their boots because of the power of Hulkamania. Just a little dig at Vince and the WWF from them. To which Hogan enters the Dungeon of Doom. He comes across the giant Paul White, who rips off Hogan's cross. This leads to an attack by the Dungeon of Doom. And then Hogan being saved by Vader, Sting, and Randy Savage. The giant not fazed by being attacked by the baby faces. Hogan getting dragged away and saved. They're pushing the giant as the son of Andre the Giant at this point. Yay! Yeah.
Did they show the part where Hogan tried to bribe the giant?
No, I didn't put that here. Did he try and bribe the giant?
Yeah, he pulled out 3 pennies from his tights and tried to give them to him. And the giant looked at him confused, and Hogan says, "It's not locked."
Apparently, he also tried to offer him a trading card from the Ultimate Tag Team Wrestlers trading cards, and he hands over a Rick Steiner trading card, to which he says, "It's not Scott."
Ah. The worst part is when Giant tried to give him some oregano. He says, "It's not pot." You can't hear Tom, but he is laughing.
Oh, what fun. I love the Dungeon of Doom so much. This is why. I feel like, had Cultaholic been around during the Dungeon of Doom, I probably would have been cast out because I'd be giving all these segments A+ ungraded. I'd have just like, this is my jam. This really is.
The question is, would you have been serious in giving those grades, or would you have been?
I think everything I would have done would have been with my tongue very firmly planted in my cheek.
But then someone on YouTube would have been like, "You asshole, that was the worst thing ever. We should got it half."
Yeah, and comments going, "Oh, Tom ruined Cultaholic," etc. Okay, Vader beat Rick and Arn Anderson in a handicap match. So the story of this match is that every time Anderson gets tagged in, he does all right. Nate gets tagged in, he gets clattered. That's basically the story. Vader beats them both in 18 minutes. So how many stars?
2.5.
Ooh, spot on. 2.5. You had to get one right at the very end.
See, match of the night, Alex Wright.
Yeah, match of the night, Alex Wright on that particular show, and they didn't even like him that much.
Hey, bro, I was involved also. I'm the one who mapped out the match in the first place, Jack.
Bob Daddy. Bless him. That's all my notes for this week in the wrestling, this bloody week in the wrestling. It is now the honor and the privilege of one Justin Henry I know, right? to talk us through this week's episode of Monday Night Raw. Go for it, Justin.
So we have a cliffhanger, which I'm like a cliff hangover. on last week's show, you may recall that the tag team title match was the main event. It was Owen Hart and Yokozuna versus Razor Ramon and Savio Vega. And the match just ended because time ran out. Razor signaled for the Edge. The copyright notice came up. And we learned that this week they're going to restart the entire match. Now, there's a problem here. But this is only a problem if you're one of the 4,000 people in Louisville who went to this show. You see, the problem is you're watching both matches back to back in real time. So they do the non-finish, which I believe in the arena, not on TV, they ended it with like a count out or a DQ as an excuse for why they had to redo it. So everybody leaves, and then minutes later, everybody comes back out with their entrance attire back on for a brand new match, just minutes later.
It's weird. It's such a weird moment. Like, knowing that, and I get it, you're trying to present it as a week-by-week product, and you have to do that, but for the live audience, that's really odd.
But yes, it's very strange, and you notice that the crowd energy is dim during this match.
Because they've already seen it.
Yeah, they didn't bother to turn on the heat machine for most of this.
Do you know how you could have got around that? I pondered this as I watched this, thinking, how'd you get around this situation? Because I think that we talked about it last week. Sorry, what?
Sell to Ted Turner?
I mean, that is an option at this point. I was just going to say, have the show start with all four guys just fighting around the ring and just say, they couldn't wait for the title credits to start. And you could have then, if you think about it, you could have had it so the match ended on TV sensibly, but then the live audience would have just seen them carry on and then fight around the ringside area. And then when the TV comes back, it's like, oh, this is the new match, but they couldn't wait to get started, so they're starting now, and it's a hot start to Monday Night Raw with four guys having a good old fight. What do you reckon?
I reckon that if you had said that to Vince 26 years ago, he would have turned to Bruce or Pat and go, what am I paying you for?
What am I paying you for?
Well, you know. I do a lot of impressions to make you laugh. That's right, pal.
I love it. What was I saying earlier? Where the hell have you been?
So, well, before we get to that fun little bit, we got to talk about the promos during this opening bit, because first they show the non-ending from last week, rematch tonight, obviously, plus Diesel versus Mo.
If you were ever in doubt that this company was really lacking some oomph right now, that is exhibit A to D. That is.
In Bret Hart's book, he talks about how it was this weekend that he found out he was beating Diesel for the belt at Survivor Series. Not widespread, but Vince and Bret had a phone conversation, because I happen to be reading that part because it may have something to do with an upcoming video of Cultaholic.
Ooh.
And Bret was asked then and there if he had any problems losing to Shawn at WrestleMania 12. So 8 months in advance, the plan is coming together.
Okay, so the Diesel runners, they were still on Diesel Power for a little while longer, though. But come November, it looks as if it's all coming to an end.
I wonder if Bret asked Vince, is like, now you sure you want me to go over Kevin at Survivor Series? If Vince watches this promo. Yes. It's like, if we could have Survivor Series on August 8th, we would. Now, I don't know whose fault that promo was, but they shouldn't have been here much longer. So then we hit the opening, and then we hit the tag team title match. Now, perhaps I shouldn't say hit, because that would imply energy. Remember how Owen Hart and Yokozuna, or how Owen and Coco were called high energy?
Yes.
Here's their low energy.
This is minimal energy.
Yes. Orange Cassidy would be a hummingbird if he were in this match.
Slight energy.
too. We get a little bit of sweetening initially, but you see the crowd is just like still, like there's just cardboard cutouts in place. And Vince says, you can feel the energy in this crowd.
That's what the heat machine will do for you.
I don't know which one, it was Vince or Lawler, one of them said, because I wrote my notes, you can tell Owen Hart's not happy about this at all. We're working two long matches in a row. Can't blame him.
God. It's, I mentioned this a few times, and I really feel it in this show where it is a lack of star power. Like, they are so desperate to sell this to the audience at home that everything is fine, but it's really not right now. It's really not.
The Bronx is burning. So we do get an important tidbit during this match, which has been announced over the weekend shows.
Mm-hmm.
The Gorilla Monsoon is now the interim president of the WWF.
I like this. This is a good... he's no Jack Tunney, but then who is? But I like the inclusion of... you're using a legend in this role, and I think Gorilla Monsoon is a good choice for it. You know, can still speak and has that authoritarian stance about him. And really, it says in the Observer, they're looking for somebody who can be a little bit more hands-on in the role. And Tunney was very limited. As much as I love Jack Tunney, he's very limited. He can't really do anything particularly physical in there. He's not very intimidating either. So as Gorilla Monsoon,
not intimidating.
I mean, if he's coming at you with a sword, I'm going to run away. John, what would that look like?
Drew Mack and Tunney.
This sword was carved by the Canadian Rockies and the mystical monsters that live in my brain. Furthermore,
I think Jack Tunney invented Monty Python.
Jack Tunney's Flying Circus. In fact, I would have preferred Jack Tunney if a match had been going on and he just cut it and gone, no, stop now, this is getting too silly. No one likes to laugh more than I do, except perhaps my wife and some of her friends. Come to think of it, everyone likes to laugh more than I do, but that's not the point. Furthermore, this match is getting too silly. Let's cut to some precision drilling.
His fan base would be the further morons.
A big hello to all my further morons out there. Let me hear my further morons in San Francisco. Okay, fair enough. You're not all here tonight.
Tom, we're having too much fun here. We have to properly convey what watching this match felt like.
Oh, I'll just cry. That'll do it.
With all due respect to the men involved here, and I like all four of them for different reasons, they were going through the motions.
They really were. Because they've already done the match. Bless them. They've already done it.
I can't blame them for the performance they gave here. I'm sure they were tired. But if I can quote the late, great George Carlin, have you ever watched golf on TV? It's like watching flies fuck.
I think this is the second time you've used that quote in the history of the Classic Raw Review.
It's a good quote.
It's a great quote. I'm pretty sure you've used it before as well. And I'm delighted for it to make a return in this particular century of the Classic Raw Review.
Now, having watched golf on TV, I can say it's better than this match because you're making progress. So it's like, okay, now Dustin Johnson's winning. Okay, now let's see how Bryson DeChambeau does on this hole here. See, that's building to something. I know what's going on. Here, they're just killing time. But Monsoon's president now. So the important thing here is that and Monsoon being the fan-friendly president and someone who wants to actually watch a good pay-per-view for once in his life, has scrapped the Sean Sid match from SummerSlam and has replaced it with Sean versus Razor in a ladder match for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, this is a good shout. This is a very, and again, this is done to... there's a twofold reason for this match being added.
One, business is down.
Business is down. There's a threefold reason for this match being added. Business is down. They want to establish Gorilla Monsoon as this fan-friendly commissioner, authority figure, so give him a hot match to announce. And also, according to Dave, they looked at the card for SummerSlam to the WWF and went, wow, this is crap. We need to do something. So the decision was made, hey, look, we've got Shawn on the roster, we've got Rage on the roster. They lit it up at WrestleMania with that ladder match. Let's give him another one. It's kind of modern day WWF booking, but in the style of the mid 90s, whereby they just sort of slapdash something out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was the good guys versus the hastily assembled horses at this point.
Very much so. Very much so.
And it shows a lack of depth on the roster and lack of fleshed out characters.
And it's, but hey, look, we're getting a Razor Shawn ladder match, which we all talk about in closer to the time, because there's it's quite an interesting behind the scenes on this one in terms of what they ended up doing and how they ended up doing.
Certainly is. So these guys are just going through the motions here. A lot of arm work. We learned that Dean Douglas is going to critique this match. I'm sure he is.
I'm thinking he's very much going to.
After about 5 minutes of doing house show filler stuff, Owen hits a DDT. We're kind of going somewhere. Razor's face in peril, and he actually takes a great flying bump over the top rope. Razor Ramon goes airborne to about 8 feet off the ground. And I've never seen Scott Hall take in my life. But that's enough excitement. Here comes Yoko to apply a nerve hold.
That Ionian nerve grip that just... That's like, what a dream they had, the Yokozuna, discovering that move. All right, you just need to stand there and just pinch the guy. And just do that. That counts.
He doesn't have to do that. Just put your hand on his neck as though you're posing for like a tandem photo. Like the Step Brothers photo.
But what if... John, what if I want to jazz it up? Well, you just put your own hand over your own wrist.
Can you grimace?
Just look cross. I'm trying to think when putting your own hand over your own wrist and grimacing has made a job with the utilized hand any easier, i.e. maybe screwing in a screw or having a... go on the scratch card.
Well, see, it's multitasking. You can scoop applesauce while checking your pulse at the same time.
That's true. I now have sufficient applesauce and my pulse rate is good.
I'm just speculating. So I think nerve hold's still going well as we're talking through this here. Ultimately, Razor does fight back against Owen, but Owen takes him down. Gets a diving headbutt, which I don't see Owen do too often.
No, it's very rare.
So he busted that out. And then I wrote, oh, good, he has sleeper hold. Which means to slow us down even more. On Razor, not the crowd, just on Razor.
Mm-hmm.
Then Savio does what any good man on the apron does, and that's rally the crowd. And that's a good job of it. They get into it a little bit. We get a double down, which is what this match needed.
It was going too fast, damn it. It was going too fast.
And Vince actually says, collision par excellence. Now, I've heard him say par excellence before, which I believe means best in the field.
Yes. I feel like he's discovered that word recently.
Now, I don't know if this is the best collision ever, but Vince sure thought so.
Vince McMahon has studied all the collisions that have ever occurred and decided this is the head collision in its field.
Well, you know what? It was the best collision of the weekend if you bought that crappy pay-per-view.
Yay! I see what you did there.
Vince is playing 4D chess all along. So then we get double tags. Savio and Yoko are in. Savio is a house of mostly fire. He's clubbering away. Knocks Yoko down with a spinning heel kick. Crowd's getting into it now. Like, oh, we smell a title change. Then Yoko hits a Samoan drop and a leg drop and wins.
Now, the bit here when Razor went to break up the cover was very weird. Like, he knocked out Owen Hart outside the ring. and mm-hmm. saw the pinfall going down and thought, I could dive straight through the ropes here, or I can run to the other side of the ropes and slowly get in that side. And decided for that.
He's probably a little too fast for Yokozu, so he's got to like play along.
Yeah, it took me out of it a little bit to see him sort of trying to find a way to slow. I think if he'd still been brawling with Owen, you would have got away with it.
You were into it before the finish?
Okay, metaphorically, it took me out of it. Not literally, I was very much not into it, but it very metaphorically took me out of it.
Hound, the horse left the barn at 9:01. We're getting him back in there.
The horse is in Texas at this point.
The horse is eating its own feces and spitting at you. Speaking of fecal matter, we go to the report card of Dean Douglas.
Oh, this is a rough watch week by week. And like, I started off with some high hopes for this because I know it gets a rough deal, and rightly so. And I thought maybe he might, as weeks go on, maybe he might grow into the role. And it might, but this is just tedious. It's only 3 weeks in, and I hate it, but not in a good way. Mm-hmm.
This is a man who's acting like he's grading his paper. He's actually reading his contract, looking for an out clause. Paul, I may have made a mistake.
Play my fucking P45.
So, report card Dean Douglas. Our term of the week is teamwork. A word that Vince hates to hear because that implies duality and it's all about single stars. So he does. Now he makes a valid point here. I will say, even though this is a very tedious segment, he points out that Savio's accidentally takes a referee while Yoko and Owen double team Razor. How dumb that is. So he is pointing out the stupidity of a babyface. Okay, so there's something tangible here to work with. At least there's that.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there's the, like all good heels, there's a little method behind the madness.
Pointing out how dumb the baby face is, and there's something to it there, but his wispy monotone is just, it does not suit him at all.
It really doesn't.
So then he gives Razor and Savio a grade of T, or rather two T's for terrible twosome. Ah, it's the alliteration. You know, Pat wrote that bit.
Could you, I wouldn't mind, but like T's not even a grade. Can't grade someone two T's. Like, surely there's a better way of doing this without having to make like a grade of T for terrible. Oh, who wrote
this? Maybe just wanted some tea. T for two.
Take me away from here, and I want to go back to ECW.
We'll swear for food.
He's making the money. I bet he must go home at night after these and just go, I'm just making the money.
Every day I pray for a meteor. Speaking of wonderful gimmicks, we go on to Dr. Isaac Yankum's office.
Yay! Now, I remember. Now, I wasn't watching wrestling at this point. This is my...
Lucky you.
I know, right? This was my lapsed time as a fan, which is what makes doing this show with my friend Justin Henry so much fun, because it's like, it's me as a lapsed fan discovering something for the first time. But for some reason, this sparked a little thing in my brain. I must have been channel hopping, and I must have seen this particular bit. Because I remember the promo with the skeletons. So, like, every...
I remember the promo with the skeletons. As said was so casually.
I remember the promo with the skeletons. I mean, technically, every promo has skeletons in. We just don't see them. But... It was in the barbers. You describe it. You describe it, because you're better at this part
than I am. You said barbers?
I did say barbers, didn't I? Full disclosure. This is a Monday. This is Freedom Day we're recording. Freedom Day. And I stayed up to watch Money in the Bank last night. So that finished at about 4:30. And I've had about 3 hours sleep. And then I got graded done. I got news podcast done. And I packed up my desk and moved across back to the office at the isolation station. So I am running on a little bit of not much sleep. And I'd spent the weekend back home. Alex and I had weekend back home with my parents. And whoo-wee, drank a lot of drink. it's a little hobby that me and my mum and my dad have introduced Alex to, which is drinking lots of champagne. And it's been a very decadent weekend, so apologies if I every so often refer to a dentist as a barbershop, or, as I did in Graded on two occasions, refer to the briefcase as a belt. So... just remember,
are you
this
trying
is
to piss Vince off?
I think I am, apparently. Just remember, this is all free. This is all free. You're not being charged for this. You can't claim a refund. This is all free.
Well, okay, so Yankum and Lawler are in this vignette, and the guy is in the dentist chair.
Barber's chair.
Yes, Isaac Yankum, medieval barber. Theodoric of York.
Sweeney Todd, demon dentist of Fleet Street.
Okay, that's actually kind of cool. So the guy's getting x-rays done now. I went to the dentist last week, and I had x-rays done. They give you this big layover, almost blanket-like lead vest they put over your body, you know, because of radiation. And Yankum, and however, this poor patient does not have one on. Lawler and Yankum have him, though. Lawler's just holding his up while the guy has no. So they're giving this guy cancer.
Do they still do it? Because I've not had that kind of x-ray at my dentist for ages. They still do the thing where they give you, like, a bit of lead here, and then the dentist goes, okay, I'm just going to go stand behind this wall. You'll be fine, though.
I haven't gotten sick yet. Actually, the hygienist was in the room, just kind of moving the little boom camera thing around at different points, and I had to bite down different parts for different teeth, and I had to watch him come up on the little monitor. I'm like, oh, that one's going to need work. Well, that one's actually not bad. It's better than I thought it was going to be.
It's like a tooth ultrasound.
Oh, it is. It's, but yeah, get x-rays done once in a while. Mm. And that's, but they do give you the vest, and this poor bastard doesn't have one. Now, just to show all of us at home what is going on here, in case we're so dumb we can't figure it out, and if we're watching this show, we might be dumb. Every time Yankum takes the x-ray photo, the screen alters the indicator, like the whole skeletal effect of everybody in the room. It grays and it shows like the, you know what I'm trying to say, it filters, like it shows like the everyone's skeleton every time there's a photo taken, so... Kind of takes away from the reality. I mean, this whole show does, obviously, but takes away from the reality of it all. it's cartoon villainy.
This is what WWF is about. Still, they're still in this cartoonish era. They can't quite let that go. And somebody in like a special effects department had a lot of fun making this.
Oh yeah, they were having a blast. You gotta get job satisfaction somehow. And they let you drink on the job most of the time, so do what you got to do.
So Bret Hart versus Kane is happening at SummerSlam, then. Yes, Nova Kane, if you will.
And Bret Hart is fighting for the unwilling cancer recipients of Isaac Yankum's office.
Have we had the... It might have happened on Superstars or Wrestling Challenge. No, Wrestling Challenge is finished, isn't it? Again, like from this era, I remember this promo, and I remember Bret Hart doing a promo ahead of this, where he's like... Isaac Yankum, you take out teeth. I like to knock out teeth the old-fashioned way. And I was like, I like that. Nice bit of energy from the Hitman. I seem to remember that promo around this time.
My brother's Canadian. He probably played hockey growing up.
Yeah, I like to knock out teeth the old-fashioned way.
And I don't quite recall that promo, but I'll bet it did happen. Because what else are you going to do with Isaac Yankum?
There's no one else you can do it for.
I'm going to burn down the funeral home where you in it, and that's not for 2 more years. Shut up.
Oh, sorry. I had some pages stuck together.
Isaac Yankum, you think you're as good as Kevin Nash. That's why you stole his pants. Well, let me tell you something.
Listen to me, Isaac Yankum. You may be able to run Knox County, but you can't run me out of the... What? Is that too soon? Too soon, apparently. Too soon. You may be a Hall of Famer. What?
Isaac Yankum, you may be trying to ruin Christmas for all the kids, but that we did that already. Oh.
I can't believe people thought this was going to be a bad SummerSlam when there's a match that literally features 3 WWE Hall of Famers.
Hang on.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
I need the...
Bret Hart. Well, yeah,
Undertaker, Paul Bearer, comma.
Six WWE Hall of Famers.
I knew I'd get there if you just let me.
Is everybody, is everybody at SummerSlam a Hall of Famer?
Not Skip and Sonny.
Not Skip and Sonny.
Not Bob Holly.
Not Bob Holly.
Not Hakushi.
Not Hakushi.
Not Mabel and Mo.
Not Mabel and Mo. Okay, six of them aren't.
Not inadvertent running Luger.
Not Luger. Okay.
Not Bertha or Harvey.
Bertha or Harvey. Oh, yeah, we got that as well, haven't we?
Not Horowitz.
Not Horowitz.
Not Eli and Jacob Blue. Not Bart Gunn.
All right, no, okay, maybe not.
I can keep going.
No, don't! Stop it, stop it. You're right, you're
not
right.
Not Vlad, unfortunately.
Oh, I thought that... Yeah, they go, when's this thing coming out? His documentary. They said, hey, a documentary on a super fan.
Hey, documentaries are only ornamental, my friend.
Putting the mental in ornament.
No one wants to watch Kevin Nash and Lex Luger and all this stuff we've filmed, but we're not going to put out.
I quite like the Kevin Nash Stone Cold Broken Skull sessions. I've not watched it all yet, but it's what I liked is Steve Austin having his Steve Wise there and Kevin Nash with a lovely glass of red wine. That's nice.
Oh, he's a classy guy.
He's got tannins in, so he can. He's all right with them.
So, Kev, you say you live in a castle of cool. I do not recollect saying that at all. Why was a castle of cool not a thing?
It should have been a talk show, a wrestling talk show, the Castle of Cool. Welcome to the Castle of Cool. Let's lower the drawbridge for our guest, Barry Horowitz. It would have happened if I'd have been there.
It's like a horrible, like Ed Wood drawbridge effect. One of the chains breaks.
And Barry Horowitz just clips into it.
1995 in a nutshell.
Damn it, Barry.
Fatu versus Tony DeVito.
95 in a nutshell.
Fatu is here to make a difference. Clearly did not get through to DeVito, who joined a street gang 4 years later and shaved his head.
Fatu is like the anti-fiend. Makes everybody much worse.
That lot of good you did, Rikishi. So Fatu kicks his ass while wearing a beanie. I made sure to write those words in that exact order.
Beanie stays on the whole time.
We learn that Sean's facing Lawler next week in our Intercontinental title match. We get this nice spot in the corner where DeVito slams Fatu's head on the buckle, which is dumb because it doesn't work. Turns, gets a big super kick. This is actually a slow squash for what it should be.
Yeah.
And Fatu's being very methodical for some reason. Although he does bust out a freaking diamond cutter.
That was nice. Like a diamond, like a nice running diamond cutter as a finish. I feel like everybody is used, this is kind of one of those finishes they seem to give to people who don't really have a finisher. Because didn't Hunter Hearst Helmsley bust this out a few weeks back?
Yeah, he had the original cutter.
Mm.
Fatu has what they call in a video game, the Samoan neckbreaker. Which is a freaking diamond cutter.
Oh.
But yes, he cuts DeVito, goes up top, hits a flying splash to finish his old head shrinker finish. And Vince uses this time, and this is quite opportune, to go into a fundraiser promo. Hey, if you're out there looking to use us for a fundraiser, we'd be happy to help because we'll help you make a difference. Like Fatu makes a difference in the streets of San Francisco.
Now, there is some reasoning, some method behind the madness for Vince McMahon at this point being so high on doing fundraiser stuff, isn't it? And it's all just exposure for them, isn't it? They're being seen as the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a tax write-off as well? I feel like it might be a tax write-off.
Well, IRS has gone, so the coast is clear.
Yay! I feel like now IRS isn't in the picture. They can shave some money off the bottom line. They go, oh, it was a charity event.
How many times they show Diesel these endeavors? Here's Diesel playing baseball with the cast of Eight is Enough.
And they're doing it to raise money so every kid in the Tri-County area can afford a scooter.
The reason why you buy new peep boost for the local adult bookstore.
We here at the World Wrestling Federation are proud to support Eggs for Dogs. Make sure that every dog in the Tri-County area can have an egg.
They're trying to eliminate highway profanity like Super Dave did. have yourself sinking in the road on top of a bus.
That charity would be called the Hit and Fun.
Diesel for dimwits.
give swearing in traffic the middle finger.
We're trying to end profuse sweating in our lifetime. Forget IRS, he needs our help. We have the Irish Shaving Man telethon.
This is Mike Rotunda. Over the next 3 minutes, he will sweat enough to drown a small village. With your help, we can keep Mike Rotunda in deodorant for the next 4 months.
It is August. It is hurricane season. If a hurricane were to strike IRS, the effects would be far worse for everybody else in his vicinity.
This man will drown in his own bed without these special grills that allow the water to seep through the floorboards.
Iris has actually grown gills. He can breathe like a fish while he sleeps at night.
You've seen the Disney Pixar movie Luca. It's roughly based around Iris.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
SummerSlam Insider, as this company's going for. Todd dressed like a movie usher for some reason.
He looks very... because he's about to interview Gorilla Monsoon, so he's put his best top on, his best trousers on.
The kind of girl doesn't have any actual authority, right? No. Oh. And goes and puts on his evening at the improv sweater that he's had on for the past 6 months. So Todd runs down this thing that's in shambles that we call a SummerSlam card. Diesel versus Mabel for the world title. He calls it Diesel's sixth pay-per-view title defense. It's actually his fifth. I had to look it up. You were wrong, mister.
So where they got that from then?
I don't know what the source was, but let's see. Brett at the Rumble, Shawn at WrestleMania, Sid at the first in your house, Sid at the second in your house. Now we got SummerSlam with Mabel. That's his fifth.
Did he not defend it at King of the... No, he didn't defend it at King of the Ring, did he?
No, it was him and Bam Bam versus Sid and Tatanka in the boredom tag team title match.
That was it, the main event Tatanka match. That was the one. Yeah.
The main event Tatanka match, that's... I know you're in a good place. You're saying the exact
main event to Tonka.
Shout out OSW.
Love those lads.
Mabel cut the promo. It's just more emphatic yelling. It's just scripted lines and just about royalty and bowing down and all that wonderful stuff Mabel talks about. Then we get to hear about Shawn and Razor. Yay. That's good. That's going to save the show.
Yeah.
Then we get the Monsoon interview. Monsoon's apparently sitting in the office at the bus terminal.
It does look like a rented office, doesn't it?
It does. The potted plant's a nice touch. He insists upon the interim label for some reason, something about no pressure on him or whatever. I don't know what I
got from this was he was work shy, and by being interim, he doesn't really need to commit to anything. And he could take his foot off the gas a little bit because he came up with some hokum about, oh, there's no politics there. And I don't hold any favoritism to management or the lads if I'm interim. Well, no, just if you, it wouldn't make it so what if you're hired to be do that role full time, you have to immediately show respect to management. Like that was a weird bit of bollocks that Gorilla Monsoon was spouting.
How about you just say, I gave myself the interim label because I want to earn the job and show that I can do a good job.
A million times better.
So that I can be the president for the people and win their trust.
That would have been a million times better.
Good babyface answer, but yeah. No, we get this random explanation, whatever the hell he's talking about. And I love Gorilla.
He just sounds work shy when he talks about it. He just sounds like, I just can't be arsed to do any of the paperwork. I just want to do the fun stuff, so I'll be the interim.
So Monsoon, in his next act as interim president, adds Alundra Blaze versus Bertha Faye for the women's title of the SummerSlam. Now, in fairness, we haven't had a women's title match since April on TV. Mm-hmm. So he's doing something there.
And it's a storyline that began on television back then.
Yes, but only he remembers it. It's like, hey, wait a minute, they're both still here. Let's do the match. What the hell? Okay, so he has made his decree. He throws down the smoke bomb and disappears after that. Because Monsoon's a sorcerer. So we add that to the card. And the legendary Bret Hart, we're facing Isaac Yankem. Oh, God, Bret's old in their eyes now.
One of the all-time greats. No, don't call me that. It just turns to stone.
What a kiss of death.
It is, isn't it?
Turns to him. We just had Medusa. Hi-oh.
Oh, yeah. Good shout.
And a casket match, Undertaker versus Kama.
Yay. This is why they went, oh, gosh, let's chuck a ladder match in there. Just give some value for money.
Yeah, it's actually a shame that Kama didn't win King of the Ring because he could have been King Kama and we could have the Cultaholic joke for in perpetuity forever.
All hail King Kama.
Ross.
Oh! Okay.
Now you get it.
I get it.
God, if Kama ever did commentary on Raw with JR and the King, we could have King Kama Ross.
On commentary.
Ah. We get a Taker promo. Something, Kama's gonna die. And it just so SummerSlam at this point is a match of the year candidate and a whole lot of nothing else.
Pretty much.
I'll bring some plants from home to try to spruce this up. Maybe a lounger chair or something. Some coasters.
Something to bring the room together. Something to tie the room together would be lovely at this point, Justin.
I'll get the dude's rug. And get the late Philip Seymour Hoffman to carry it out for me.
Oh.
So, Goldust teaser. It's the same one we've had for 3 straight weeks now. Gabbo is coming.
I'm excited for whatever Goldust is. I'm intrigued. Simple trailers, but they're working.
We know it's Dustin Rhodes, and it's going to be... to me, unlike anything he's done up to this point. Kama versus Troy Hayes. Troy Hayes, if I didn't know any better, was Kurt Hennig with his protection with a mustache.
He is better known in OVW as Phantom Sorrow.
Huh?
That was his name in OVW in the late 90s. Phantom Zorro.
Is that a name he made up?
Nope, that is 100% a fact. 100,000, not even, I know that is the sort of bullshine that I would throw at you, Justin. No, that is 100%
is that a name
that
he
fact. Made up? Obviously, it's something I made up.
No.
It does sound like some bollocks I'd make up. I would like to think that he made that up himself. He strikes me as the sort of guy that would go, oh, I'm wasted in this role. I could be doing so much more. And when they give him the ball to run with, they go, all right, I've got this idea for a gimmick. I've had it since I was 10. It's Phantom Sorrow. And then what happens? He goes, all right, thanks for coming, Tony. It's great to see you.
I'll be the Atomic Bear.
It also sounds like it could be a Metal Gear Solid game. That's probably why I quite like it.
Atomic Bear?
No, Phantom Sorrow. Atomic Bear would be a boss in the Metal Gear Solid game.
I'm messing with Atomic Bear, Jesus. Even Daniel Bryan went in, and he's trained to fight bears. I bought his instructional video.
Why isn't Adam Bomb's mascot an Atomic Bear?
But why didn't him and David both team as the Atomic Dogs?
Oh, my God. That'd have been money. Just, oh, my God. And it would have explained why Davey Boy Smith's a weird promo. Just radiation.
They injected me with nuclear waste by accident.
We've seen Davey Boy Smith Jr. has signed with WWE.
Yes,
they
back.
Did a dark match on SmackDown, but they didn't show the dark match because it's a dark match. But they showed his interview afterwards. And what I love is with his interview, if you listen to it, it's an American accent, but it's exactly the same cadence as British Bulldog.
He grew up listening to his dad talk.
Yep, it's exactly how he does. It's exactly how his dad talks. It's amazing. I was like, that is exactly how Bulldog talks. Good luck to David Boy Smith Jr. I'm predicting David Boy Smith Jr. To be the NXT UK champion by the end of next year.
He's going to win it in Wembley?
Yes. They'll do NXT TakeOver Wembley, and then that'll be where the WWE goes, look, you've had your Wembley again, so shut up. And it's the 20th anniversary. Hang on, 30. Oh, 30. Christ. It's the 30th anniversary of TakeOver Wembley. So the 30th anniversary of SummerSlam. So that is...
First, you've got to find Lennox Lewis.
Yes.
And carry the flag.
He can get effed before the match.
Where's Tyson Fury at?
Tyson, I'm effed. Me too. What a match. Yeah, so my prediction, my long prediction is they'll mark the 30th anniversary of SummerSlam 92 with NXT UK TakeOver Wembley, and Davey Boy Smith Jr. will become NXT
Wembley
UK
Arena,
champion.
Right?
Oh, the arena. I have another stadium. Christ. Christ! I was at the York Rooms, and I could dare myself think, it would sell out Wembley Stadium. And I love bloody Ilya Dragunov and Rampage Brown and Amir Jordan. They're not selling out Wembley Stadium. I'm sorry, lads.
You have a match where two guys can't punch each other in the face.
Yay! Wrestling.
If only you hadn't fired Matt Martell, you could have been Rick.
Oh! That just recreate every match on that card. Every match on that card. I interviewed Virgil, and we mentioned SummerSlam 92.
Did you now?
It was an interesting interview. He seemed quite keen to talk about meat sauce and spaghetti and how big his penis is. To the point where I just thought, I'll just throw my questions out. This will be fine. So I said, SummerSlam 92, when you came to the UK, where did you go and eat? Was my question. Because this is where the interview got at this point. His answer was, SummerSlam. I fucking kicked Nail's ass at SummerSlam. Yeah, you did. Where'd you go to eat? I had Olive Garden from Poughkeepsie delivered. I was like, okay, that's great. Thanks.
Yes, it was a special Grubhub they had in 1992. Where they shoot out of a missile silo.
He has threatened to come to the UK, though, so I'm quite excited.
He's threatened to come to the UK?
Yes. He wants to come and do a one-man show. I think he wants to sing Oasis live on stage. Mate, if you wish to hear the interview, it's on the podcast feed. Please go check it out. It's a treat. You won't get much from it, in terms of gossip and juicy news and salacious detail, it'll just be, it's just Virgil going off on one for 15 minutes.
Well, speaking of SummerSlam 92, Papa Shango was on that show, so back to karma we go.
Yay! And it's back to karma we go.
That's how you segue.
Beautiful.
So then Sid calls in, as I now realize that Sid and Karma were the ones beating up Hogan at the end of WrestleMania 8 before Warrior ran in. So nothing excites me more than Sid calling into a show.
Do you know why he called in?
Why, Tom?
Because there was rumor and innuendo this week that Sid had been fired from WWF. So the whole purpose of this call was to make sure that those rumors were quashed, because they very much are still working with Sid. With him being taken out of the match at SummerSlam, everybody thought, oh, maybe, you know, Sid's leaving the company. So Vince was keen to do something to put Sid back in the center of the picture, and that's where this phone call came in. So there you go.
Is that why there was no AOL plug this week? Because it's like, damn the internet.
Yeah, forget the internet. We hate the internet this week. It's trying to ruin my business.
See, they knew then what we know now.
Mm-hmm.
So Sid says only he makes his decisions, I guess hence the softball schedule. Karma just works over the armature for Hayes while this conversation is going on. Nice hammerlock slam. He puts him in a cross arm breaker, gets a submission win. Then Sid, in an attempt to steal the show this week, says that Sean almost paralyzed him in your house too, and then calls Sean a little hip-shaking idiot. Hey, Sid.
Oh, Sid, I can't stay mad at you.
I can't even get mad at him. He's the best.
He's ace.
Comet badmouths the creatures in the front row. They no-sell them.
Those creatures have been following Karma around for what feels like a lifetime.
You know why they're miserable? Because they buy front receipts of these TV tapings.
I'd be fed up if I were them. Stephanie and Shane McMahon, apparently. I love bringing up that rumor every single time they come on screen. The fact that people are going, that's Stephanie and Shane McMahon.
I think the guy is just Gothic Martin Scorsese.
Before he got big.
I left a set of Casino for this. Sean and Lawler next week. But for now, we have a main event anywhere in the country. And in fact, Louisville is somewhere in this country.
It is a main Diesel. Event that has been described by many that is happening tonight.
Diesel versus Mo.
OSW review, if we hear you. They love that.
I've been happy with Diesel versus Shemp. You're getting jacked up, Shemp. You're welcome for that.
Oh, this show is so bollocks. It's brilliant.
Hey, Mo, Diesel's really kicking your brother's ass out there. Shut up, idiot.
Why do you?
Stooges would save this company if it was a real Stooges. No one took bumps like Curly did.
Oh, Christ.
You can imagine like someone getting clothesline and then doing the Curly shuffle on the mat.
I'm surprised you haven't seen it happen.
I bet someone's done it at some point.
Zack Ryder's done it at some point. Or Santino.
The Stooges are timeless.
They are our time.
Stooges are great.
They are our time. I'm just being obstinate. I do like this. Their place in history is sealed.
The greatest comedy group ever. Until Joe Besser came along. But we ignore that part. So Dud's at ringside. He's got an HBK shirt on.
Now, this T-shirt, I want to just touch on it, because old Dudinsky, the WWF shop guy, has this T-shirt, and it's got Shawn Michaels in the middle, and it's got words all around it. Barry Dudinsky says, this is a T-shirt that contains, quote, all of Shawn Michaels' famous phrases.
I don't lay down for anybody.
Nope, not that. I mean, you'd be forgiven for thinking that's not the case. So Let's go through some of, apparently, Shawn Michaels' most famous phrases. So some of these are fine. I'm just a sexy boy and I'm not your boy toy. That's on there. That's fine. Pin 'em. I mean, he must have said it because that's how you win a match. Michaels is in a whole different category.
When did you say that one?
Punishing effectiveness. Okay, this is potentially problematic. I've been looking good since I was 12. That's on the t-shirt. I don't understand. And at the bottom, it's meant to say God's gift to women. But I don't know why, and I can't think of why. The EN has been blacked out. Like there's like a piece of tape or something to get rid of the EM. So it just
says,
God's gift to Wom.
God's gift to Wombat.
I don't understand why. Why putting women was offensive. They had to take it out. I don't know.
God's gift to Wombat would be good for like a Shakara gimmick or something.
I'd be perfect if this was a Shakara gimmick. But I don't know whether they set out to make sure Michael's God's gift to Wombats.
If I were to buy that shirt for someone for their birthday, that'd be like me going on Cameo to find like, okay, who does that person hate that I get them a cameo from?
That's pretty much it. It's just an awful t-shirt. It's an awful t-shirt.
Just shit in a box and send it to someone.
You might as well do. The postage and packaging will be less.
Yeah. AEW's been accused of being a t-shirt company. The movie clearly wasn't.
I'd rather be a t-shirt company than whatever whichever company Barry Dodinsky's hawking.
He holds a shirt up. You're fired, and with good cause. Just to tie it into a Simpsons reference of that year, 95, actually.
There you go.
So, as soon as Diesel's horn blares, Vince is like, yeah!
Here comes the main event!
Vince went 0.9 Pacino on that one. Ooh! Big Daddy, cool! The monstrous Diesel! Ooh! All of a sudden, he's Scarface.
This whole company's a pussy waiting to get fucked.
Let me just tell anyone out there, I know it's 3.5 hours, but if you haven't seen The Irishman, Pacino is great. And this is my union. Well, you can't say that in this company, obviously.
I haven't seen The Irishman, but my dad, who loves like The Godfather and Goodfellas, seen it, and he says it's just brilliant because it's almost like a reunion of these classic actors in gangster gimmicks.
You have not lived until you've seen Ray Romano play a slimy lawyer and do good at it.
I bet he would be a good lawyer, actually. In that, I've not seen him in it.
But. He was great. He was great. He's gotten better as a dramatic actor. His days of woodenly reading his lines on Everybody Loves Raymond. That's long in the past. Oh, Ray's got some chops.
He really has. I think I'm intrigued to see him in this, actually.
It is worth the 3.5 hours you'll spend watching this movie. Like, if you love Goodfellas and Casino, this is your jam.
Okay. Okay.
It's long, but it's worth it. So Mo gets early control off a cheap shot.
Talking of long, but worth it.
long, yes. But now, I wrote here that Mo gets early control off a cheap shot. I should not have written that. What I should have written was Diesel squashes him in 9 seconds. Because he is the champion and Mo is the sidekick.
He's the lackey.
Yes. This is like Raven sending Lodi at you.
Why is he getting so much in?
Yeah, why is Lodi beating up Goldberg?
Is there somebody in the company potentially thinking maybe Mo is the breakout star here?
Well, that pseudo moonsaw he hit it in your house too. Maybe they thought there was potential.
Maybe they did. Maybe they went. He's the guy.
That's right. Oh, but the problem was, this was the night after in your house, so he's probably still tired. So Diesel takes over, but Mo gets a spinning heel kick, which actually looked nice. Gets two off of that. We get an awkward. It's this awkward pace at this point. Because these two are on different pages in different books. Big Boot gets no reaction. They forgot to turn on the sweetener for that one.
It's just because they don't want to watch this match. They're just so done. And this is what they've got to deal with.
Even the technicians are unconscious. So Mabel comes out to distract Diesel. Then Sean comes out to back Diesel up. Come back and break Moe's in control. Why is this a break match?
Please stay with us for Diesel versus Moe.
You think no. Roman Do you think a Roman Dominic Mysterio match is going through commercial break? No.
That's being done and done.
So Moe misses a flying elbow smash. Take that, Randy Savage. Leave the company. Diesel gets the side slam, then gets the big boot. Then a scary looking jackknife that they had to edit a little bit because he didn't get Moe up clean the first time. But that ends it. This match was 9 minutes long, by the way.
Fair play to Diesel getting Moe up for the jackknife. I know it needed a bit of tidying up, but fair play to Diesel getting him up.
No way in hell is he getting Mabel up for that.
Mabel rocking up at ringside and being scared by Shawn Michaels looked daft. Because, like, I know that Shawn Michaels is, like, the star, but Mabel dwarfs him. Like, why was Mabel backing off?
Mabel could eat him.
Exactly.
So, Mabel attacks Diesel after the match, clotheslines him down. Shawn goes to make the save. Mabel gets knocked to the outside. Then, and I don't know if he calls it a highlight or a low light. Sean goes for the slingshot plunge on the Mabel. Now, I realize I couldn't catch Shawn Michaels. If we were cooperating, I'd have our time. Mabel's much larger than I. Sean jumps on the Mabel. Mabel catches him, but takes the 5 or 6 back step recoil off of it and almost falls over.
Unintentionally funny moment from these two.
Yes. He didn't catch him clean. He runs Sean back first into the post twice, like he did the Diesel in your house, too. You're supposed to think Sean's career is over after that because you're selling it like he's dead. Now, I remember this as a kid for one reason. I was a Shawn Michaels fan, and my brother, who was not a Shawn Michaels fan, had to twist the knife a little bit by saying, "Look, Shawn's got a bald spot."
Oh, no.
And so then,
boo your brother.
My brother's an asshole. But it's par for the course. I'm an asshole to him, too. So watching this back all these years later, I remember this like it was yesterday. Look down, and sure enough, I could see a little sliver of flesh on the top of Sean's head where there was no hair. And it was like, God damn, it's just like yesterday.
Oh.
Meanwhile, Lawler rebels and Sean being hurt. Sean's getting upset on the back. Lawler's taunting him. Sean's yelling at him, trying to build the next week. And that's your show.
Yeah, because it's Lawler and Sean next week. So Lawler sort of finishing by giving Shawn Michaels some grief was probably a sensible way to end it. Let's focus on that and not the Diesel versus Moe thing that just happened.
Yeah, so let's take our minds off that immediately.
I agree with you. The amount of offense that Moe got in this match did not make sense. Did not make sense.
If Moe's not facing Sean Vanier Cotton Belt at SummerSlam, then what the hell was the point?
Exactly. How many weeks out are we from SummerSlam?
We have 3 more Raws.
3 more Raws.
Two more Raws.
Oh, 2 more Raws until we get to SummerSlam. We will be doing a watch along of SummerSlam as well. There'll be special guests involved as well, which we'll talk about a little closer to the time. As well, if you have enjoyed this, do check out our YouTube channel because an amazing episode of Behind the Match dropped over the weekend, which is all about this is your fine work, Justin Henry. I believe it was.
It's my series, yes. Well, mine and Sam's series and Matthew Stewart, our fine editor.
And it's all about the cash in at WrestleMania 31.
And everything that led to that moment. For I was supposed to be Roman's night, and it was not Roman's night.
It's a beautifully done series, and you can watch it on the YouTube channel right now. What are you working on this week, Justin Henry? Anything you can reveal, or is it all top secret?
This next project is top secret, but I will say we have more Behind the Matches coming. 5 more, in fact, for the season. They're all in the can and ready to go.
Exciting. It's exciting. We are fast approaching episode 100 of Desert Island Grabs. I can reveal that this week. And there are some really cool guests coming up in the last few episodes before then. One of them will take place in a studio face to face for the first time in a million years, which I'm very excited about. I mean, doing them over Zoom has been great because you can talk to anybody all over the world and all that. But I do miss sitting opposite somebody. So one of those coming up, maybe for episode 100. Maybe for episode 100. Find out who that is in time to come. Were you going to say, did I interrupt you then? Was I going to?
I was going to say, I can't wait to see it.
Oh, bless you, mate. Thank you. I can't wait to see it either, nor can I wait to do it. What I can't wait to do right now is say, here's at JRH Writing on Twitter. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. Somebody thought that Mo getting all that offense was a good thing. It was probably Jack Tunney. Furthermore, you further morons. Stay safe. I want to roll with further morons as a fan base for Jack Tunney. It's a good idea, that. That's what they are from now on. Love you, bye. And scene. Lovely stuff.
You are welcome for further morons.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.